last lesson in this book. So that means spring is over and summer's here, more or less. Okay, Father, we ask you to be with us this morning and guide us. We're so thankful, Lord, for all that you do for us, for the fact that you brought us to your house, dear Lord, so that we could worship and find better ways to serve you. We ask you to guide us as we go through this lesson. May the words that we speak and even the thoughts that we have that we don't get verbalized, dear Lord, may they all be to your glory. We ask you to watch over us and guide us, and we will always give you the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Like I said, this is the last lesson in this quarter. And, you know, when we have this whole quarter, we've been studying about the righteousness and the wrath of God. God, throughout the whole Bible, is determined that people will worship him, love him. And we know, that the other word for obedience is love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that's what God's whole premise is based on for his people. Because it's not his desire that anybody comes short. You know, we're all going to die once. Okay? What he wants is that to be the only time we die. We die once, and then we go to him for eternal life. We spend our eternity with him. If you don't know him, you will die twice. And that second death, it's not one that anybody desires. You know, you've heard all these stories about the rich man that died and went to hell. And he reached up and said, you know, could you just tell everybody that this is not the place that they want to be? And they said, well, that was your job when you were here, to tell your family, to tell your loved ones, to share that. And I think sometimes we fail to do that as a people, as a church. And sometimes we don't take our responsibility seriously enough. But the title of the lesson today is Christ's Sacrifice Once for All. And it comes from the book of Hebrews. Well, there's really no set, you know, we've been studying Romans, which Paul wrote, but they don't really know who wrote Hebrews. It could be a different ones, you know, someone wrote this and someone wrote that. But Hebrews does a lot of correlation to the Old Testament. They pick something out of the Old Testament and then they go into the New Testament and try to decide or try to explain how it applied then. It still applies now, but I have something better for you, and that's Jesus Christ. So that is the whole theme of Hebrews. Compare the old to the new and get you to understand how much better the new is. So if somebody would, and these verses are hard to read because they don't speak English. There's a word here and there, and some of it just doesn't make sense. But anyway, if somebody would read those first four verses, 1, 2, 3, and 4.
For the law having a shadow of good things to come.
Okay, what do we know about shadows? The law is a shadow. Watch spooky movies. What is one of the things that they do to try to scare you? They show you a shadow. They show you a shadow of something because you can't plainly see what's in that shadow. There's just enough there to give us that ominous feeling, you know, that we're going to be afraid. Yeah. Well, when I was reading this too, I thought of shadows. I watch a lot of baseball games. And if you're watching a game that starts like at 4:00 in the evening, all of these stadiums, you know, because they have all these high tiers so they can accommodate all the fans, the shadow, the sun, will start to shade part of the field. So you've got a batter that's batting in the shade, and he's batting a ball into the sun, and someone who's into the sun is trying to catch it. So he's got to keep his eye really focused in that shaded part, that shadowed part, so that he has that ball. He has a good sense of where that ball is when it's coming into the light. Well, that's what this shadow is doing. The shadow, he says, is the law. The law is the shadow. The law was given when?
Moses.
It was given to Moses after
the Israelites came out.
After he brought them out of Egypt, right? And why did they need the law?
Because they were
doing whatever they wanted. Well, it was bad enough at one point that he destroyed the world by the flood, right? Yeah, back in Noah's day, it was that bad, crime or misdeeds, I guess maybe you should say, had gotten so bad that he says, I'm just going to destroy this people and start over. And then after years and years, and then they went into Egypt, and he brought them out of Egypt, he says, well, I'm going to give you the law as a guide. Your conscience is your guide. And your conscience is going to tell you right from wrong, and it should stop you. But if your conscience doesn't stop you, then here's this law. Look at this law and obey this law. Were the laws just set out there? I mean, they weren't willy-nilly. There's 10, right? 10 commandments.
Yeah.
What's the first one? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That was the first thing. So God tells you what? Right up front.
Don't have nobody else.
Nobody else. Right. I am it. Look to me.
Yes.
Honor me. And if you honor me, you will
obey.
You'll love me. You'll keep the rest of these commandments.
Yes.
But the first one starts with love the Lord, or honor, and have no other gods before me. So then he gives them the law. And what happens immediately? Moses comes down off the mountain. What are they doing?
They've had a golden calf and they're having a party.
They're having a party. They had grown weary. And Moses is only up there, what, 40 days? But the people had grown weary in such a short period of time. And they said, give us something that we can worship. You took us out of Egypt. You took us away from all of our things. We don't have anything. So the priest, Aaron, says, okay, bring me all your gold. And they fashioned this golden calf. So they were worshiping this golden calf and having a good old time when Moses came down the mountain. And what did Moses do? He just threw his hands up. He threw his hands up and says, I'm just done with all of you. And there went the Ten Commandments. Well, we just learned last week, or maybe we had learned before that, who wrote the first set of Ten Commandments? God, with his finger on a stone. He wrote that first set. So Moses appeals to God, oh, you got to forgive these people. They didn't know what they were doing. So God says, okay, come back up on the mountain. Well, when he went back up on the mountain that time Moses had to write the commandments. The God told him what they were, but he had to actually do the writing. So that got him all started with the law. And the law was pretty good, except what? Can anybody keep the law? Huh? Yeah, can anybody keep the law? And the Jews, we know, they added till there was something over, by the time it gets down through history, they had added like 600 laws to these Ten Commandments. And it was something that nobody could keep. Well, can we keep the law now? No. It may be a little thing. It may be just... Jody asked me the other day, he says, now, in your car, does your speed on, does it turn red when you're going over the speed limit? And I said, yeah, and mine stays red a lot because I don't actually go the speed limit. I'm, you know, 1 or 2 miles over, but that thing is always red. So it's always reminding you that you are breaking the law. That's what it's reminding me of. But we cannot possibly, in this human condition that we're in, we cannot possibly keep all of these laws. Well, we couldn't keep the Jewish laws, but we can't even keep the 10. We can't even tempt that first one I told you, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What do? We put things ahead of God. We do. I mean, it could be a little, I know we're not supposed to, but we do. It could be a little thing. It could be a, well, you can't really hold this against somebody, but what if you have someone that's sick? You have a sick family member. And to tend to that sick family member, you have to back away from church. You have to back away from all of the things that you're supposed to be doing for God. Is that having another God before him? Sad as it is, It's true. You're putting that family member ahead of God.
I don't know, because I know people that, because of health reasons or other reasons, they don't go to church.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I don't know how they do it, because they seem so spiritual. And, mm-hmm. and me, when I miss church, it's awful. Mm-hmm. I mean, I need it desperately.
Mm-hmm.
But some people just... You know, they watch the people on TV, and I don't get what I get coming here and being with all of them. I need this.
I'm going to say maybe we get polluted by the world. That's how these people do it, that stay in, don't go, don't visit. But they obviously have a relationship with God. He sees to them, and they see to him.
Just like me and Ronnie, you know, like there's Sundays we don't get to go, but we have church home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have his mm-hmm. study,
mm-hmm.
and we do our church at home.
Yeah, that's a good lesson for all of us, Roberta. Okay, where did I start out with this? The shadow. The law is a shadow. Well, the shadow was because God already had a plan for how he was going to take care of all of these lawbreakers. And that is what we know today as Christ. So it says the law was a shadow of things to come, but not the very image of the things. What did these people, and they went every year, and they went year by year and did these sacrifices, where it says, and the comers thereunto perfect, the comers, that's the people that approach. So the people that approach to make their sacrifices. But he said, why, if they had to do this once a year, why didn't it take care of it? Why did they have to keep going back? Why did they have to keep going back year after year if the sacrifices were supposed to cover their sin?
Because you continue to sin.
1 year to the next. Yeah, it kind of adds up, doesn't it? And but those sacrifices couldn't do what? Those Old Testament sacrifices couldn't offer
salvation,
the gift that we have today. They couldn't do that. It says, is it possible that the blood of bulls and goats would take away your sin?
No.
No.
You have to have salvation.
Yeah. Well, the blood of the bulls and the goats, what was the purpose of that? And it wasn't a cheap thing. Sometimes people had to go buy their animal to have it sacrificed. So that in itself,
they took their sins away,
put a little responsibility on people that they had to. Is that like buying your forgiveness?
They're trying to.
It kind of is, isn't it?
What you sacrificed was bigger and better, you know, you could cop an attitude about it, and that
sure.
wasn't good either, you know.
Well, that's the story of the lady that just gave the three mites. It said her offering was more than all of yours. She gave out of her lack. You gave out of your abundance. So God knows what's in the heart. That's the whole thing. So they're telling us here that the law is a shadow, but Christ was the true payment for sin. And the sin had been postponed in the Old Testament because Christ hadn't come yet. But he would fully deal with this when he did. Okay? Well, let's move on to the next section. And it is, Christ is the fulfillment. Now, this one gets really down in the weeds, if you ask me. But anyway, somebody will read 5, 6, and 7.
For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith...
I think you're in the wrong book.
I'm in the wrong book. Am I in the wrong lesson?
I think.
I'm here.
No.
Well, somebody must have needed to hear that for some reason. Okay, wherefore...
There you go.
Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then I said, lo, I come. In the volume of this book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.
Okay, those three verses right there are verses that are in the 40th Psalm in the Old Testament. So this Hebrew writer has brought that forth, but if you read the lesson, and I don't know if it's in your book, it compares the two versions, the version that was actually in Psalms and the version that he repeated here in the New Testament. The thing being, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. So you have a translation to translation, and what happens a lot of times, the point is lost in the translation. Because as we know, the Hebrew, there could be one term. A good one is agape. Agape means love. Well, it also means many other things. Abba means father. There are just different terms that have more than one meaning. So if they didn't translate it exactly as it was in the Old Testament, then it may change the meaning. You know how the one word could change the meaning of a whole sentence. And that's what this the writer of our Sunday school lesson, that's what he was going on about, that they were changing the translation. But if you just look at the verses, this is telling us that Christ is the fulfillment, and it says, he came into the world, sacrificed and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for him. What did Christ give? He gave his body. He gave his full body. It was prepared. He was made for such a time as this. Christ was. It says, burnt offerings and sacrifices, he took no pleasure in that. They didn't mean anything to him. And then he said, I come to do what? I come to do thy will, O Lord. That was the whole purpose of Jesus coming, was to do the will of God. And there are, when it's talking about these translations or different things, how about here? How about when it says, get to give your hand in marriage? Do you just give your hand? You give your whole body. How about when you tell somebody, I'm all ears? Can you picture ears all over a person? Yeah.
That does.
It just means you're listening. You're paying attention. Yeah. There was another one here that I thought was pretty good. I can't find it right now. Oh, he had the blues. Does he really? Is he blue? I thought it was Smurf when I read that. Had the blues. No, he wasn't blue. He was sad. But we do have terms that we use like that sometimes to try to explain or to let people know what it is we're doing or what we're thinking. And the old covenant sacrificial system was not really what God wanted. Why did he institute that to start with? People had to have a way to have their sins covered because he knew they were going to sin. So he set up this system of sacrifices. Yeah, he set up the system of sacrifices. And that was the whole key there, Roberta. Not only did you just take a goat and go to the priest and he offered the sacrifices, what was expected of you?
For us to repent and him.
Yes, exactly. He wanted you to repent and then obey. Well, these sacrifices were done once a year, and it was called atonement. And it was called atonement because it was to atone for the sins that you had committed that whole year. So then when you do that atonement, you are supposed to change. You're supposed to repent. There should be a overall change in all of your actions, your attitudes, everything about you. But we got a whole year here, folks. Sometimes we can't even go a week. You know, from one Sunday to the next, we have times that we fall away. What if we were only allowed to come to church once a year? Our burden would be so heavy, we probably couldn't walk in the door. You know what I mean? Christ changed all that. We can go to him.
When we're home, what do? We pray for our breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
We pray for a snack.
Mm-hmm.
We pray abroad for our lunch.
Mm-hmm.
What he gives us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have a big
what
prayer.
He's referring to is that he wants us to try to do better.
He always wants us to do better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we should ourselves want.
And we do our prayer sometimes. We start like 1:30, 2 o'clock, and we don't get done to what? Four or five. We have a big list for people's families.
That's good. That's good. Okay. But that's what he wants. If we had to save up for a year, it would take how long to offer that sacrifice? I mean, consider how long it's going to take to burn up a calf. How long would that be?
Probably a long time, maybe.
2 or 3 hours? Would that be enough to admit to all the sins that you've done that past year? No. There's no way. The burden would just be entirely too heavy.
Yeah.
So that was the thing that Christ's coming just relieved us of that burden. But still, it's up to us, isn't it? It's up to us to make the commitment to follow. Okay. Anybody have any questions on that? All right. Well, let's go to the last section. And this is the one, this is the explanation of Christ's actions. 8, 9, and 10.
Thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein. I will, O God, he taketh away the first that he may establish.
Right. Above, when he said sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. He said it took no pleasure in that, which were offered by the law. Then Christ says, I come to do thy will, O God. Taketh away the first. What's he taking away the first? Taking away that first set of offerings, sacrifices. I come to take away that first set of sacrifices, which has been set down in the Old Testament, that I may establish the second. And you know, second is singular, not second set of sacrifices, just establish the second sacrifice. Christ sacrificed his life on the cross for all of us. He's given us new life. All right, there was something else I read here. We're going to get done way fast. You know, when Christ was hanging on the cross and it was about to the end and he cried out, it is finished. What do you think he meant? That's right. Which was what?
To take away the sins, pay those.
Offer his body for that final sacrifice.
For us.
Yes, when I had always read this before, when it said it is finished, I thought he just meant I'm dead, I'm dying, this is it. I never took all of this into that. It is finished means my job of offering the supreme sacrifice for your people, for my people, is done. Mm-hmm. It'll never be done again.
Nope.
Mind, my work is done. Your work is done.
And it says here he paid for our sins.
I love the once for all. I mean, it was next year or ever.
It was done. It was. Okay.
Then on here it says Jesus paid the debt of our sins in full. Hallelujah.
Uh-huh. What do we depend on in order to get us through life? We depend on the mercy of God. Because, like we talk about these laws, even laws today, there's just no way that we can keep them all. But God, in his mercy, he'll look upon those people that don't make it to church because health won't allow them or things that don't allow. He looks upon them and he offers them mercy. And do you think they feel that? Sure they do. Their heart has to be, he speaks to the heart. So their heart has to feel this sense of
love,
of lightness, of no burden.
No more burden.
No more burden. He takes the burden away. Christ lived the perfect life and died the perfect death. Well, that's hard to imagine, isn't it? Perfect death. Well, that's all I got. Anybody want to talk? I'm done.
I think that all those burdens come from the devil.
Sure they do.
Just like I think sickness and that stuff comes from the devil.
The devil causes all that, you know?
I'm watching this little series on TV, and this young boy, he was telling his dad that he knew what he needed to do, but he said, I've got this little red guy sitting on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. Keeps telling me, no, do this. Well, we do. We all have that little red guy with the pitchfork sitting on our shoulder, watching every move and saying, yeah, you can go ahead and do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He won't hold it against you.
Once upon a time, there are a lot of good stories begin this way.
Okay.
I worked for this woman, and she had some odd ideas, but one of which, this isn't part of the story, but I went to work for her one day, and she said, Karen, she said, it's wonderful. You do get to go to heaven. She was Pentecostal, and I was a Methodist. I said, well, that's good to know. She said, however, you have to go through tribulations because you don't speak in tongues.
Oh, wow.
But I knew that wasn't true.
Right.
That's...
Yeah.
But when I worked for her, she told me that every time she tried to pray, she couldn't.
Yeah.
So I started thinking, well, you know, you shouldn't be calling. It bothered me. Right up until the point when I went into the store, started to get dark hair dye that was like brown color. And
why did she think that she couldn't pray with her hair?
And maybe it was wrong for her, but evidently there was no problem for me because you can't do that. And when I went to a church that didn't believe, gradually I noticed I was wearing a dress more and more and more. But then I got to realizing, you're worried about the outside and you're not worried about the inside, and you know.
So I was going to say, maybe the woman changed her hair color and she thought God didn't recognize her. You know, women have that advantage. You can change your hair color and turn into a whole new person. So I don't know. It's weird.
But you can take little things and turn them into, well, okay. For a while there, I was watching Dallas every night before I went to sleep. You know, I just watched it in my head, said I had to quit watching Dallas. And I'm going to tell you that I've watched some things that were worse than Dallas.
Yeah.
And that little voice in my head didn't say much. But evidently, I was watching, just like me getting up and going to the garden every morning before reading my Bible.
And you
can't do that anymore. Yeah. You have to read your Bible first.
Well, you've got to be open, Karen, because you said that the Spirit told you. You need to read your Bible before you go to the garden. So
yeah, and
then,
sometimes it's hard, especially when I say, well, now, Lord, you know, it's going to rain here in a little bit, and I'll read my Bible afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's just like this feeling like a mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Practical points. We should not put our hope in our ability to keep the law. We just can't trust ourselves, can we? You know, we had a lesson here years ago. It's when Jack Roach was still here, and I taught it, and honestly, I don't remember most of it. But it was three things that you had to do when you told someone you've forgiven. First, you have to forgive them, so you have to put it away. But then the third thing was you have to, in yourself, agree never to bring it up again. Well, you know, they say, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget. Well, that's not part of it. Forgiveness includes forgetting. And when you get older, forgetting's a lot easier. But sometimes we just need to forget.
But can you?
No, well, it's tough.
And what
would replace, if you were going to forget that, you would replace that with something you needed to remember. Something out of the Bible, some other thing that God's trying to tell you, you put that in place of that. And before you know, it is a distant memory.
But that red...
That red guy?
Shoulder, I mean, he's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But are there instances you can forgive and forget somebody and leave their life? Isn't that true?
Well, when they're removed, it makes it a whole lot easier to forget, yes.
Because I had a friend, and her husband was very, very unfaithful to the point where, you know, he was leaving her marriage. Heck, she wanted him in her life, and she said, Karen, how can you be? And I was like, because she said, Jesus forgives.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, but Jesus didn't say, I want you to do this to
keep
me
on going. Keep on going. Yeah.
And I said, you know, I don't think God ever expected your whole life to be like that.
That's what we're talking about here this morning. When you You repent, sin no more. That sin, the lady that was caught in the act of adultery, mm-hmm. and all these people, they wanted to stone her. Christ bends down and he writes in the dirt. He looks up and, he said, let the one that is without sin cast the first stone. So he's down and he's marking and he looks up. Nobody's there. So he asks the woman, he says, where are all your accusers? She says, they're all gone. He says, well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's the key word. I don't condemn you, but don't do it anymore. The woman at the well, he told her, he says, I know that you've had five husbands, and the man that you're living with now is not your husband. He pointed her sin out to her right then and there, and that was a sign. She knew that he was the Christ. She knew that he was the Messiah just by things that he did. Are we that open that we understand when someone comes into our life with a message and we think, oh my, I didn't realize I was doing that wrong. Oh my, I hope I haven't caused anybody to stumble by what I've done. These are the questions that we ask ourselves daily. And the only answer is in the Word of God and our relationship with Him. We have to be close, close, close. We cannot save ourselves through gifts and sacrifices. People still try to think, I give a little money to the church, that'll cover this. Does that work?
No,
it does not. When we read the Old Testament, we should look to find Jesus. I know years ago, and even still, and next week we're going to be back in the Old Testament. When our lessons take us into the Old Testament, we think, oh gosh, this is really deep. This is really hard to understand. But the whole Testament was all just leading us to Christ. It's just a map, a road map. Now we're under a new covenant. Do not try to return to the old. So don't bring a calf next week and burn it and try to set it on fire up here and think that that'll cover what you did. No, it's not going to happen. Christ took care of that. Thank God. It's nothing that we could do.
I have a question.
Sure.
Because I have said this before, and I'm not sure I'm right. When God looks at us, does he see the blood of Jesus? And is that what he sees is Jesus? Does he not see all faults?
Mm-hmm.
When he looks at me and all my failings, does he see Jesus?
Yes, because if he's in your heart, he does. If Jesus is in your heart, that's what he sees. There's another story that I've read that this person goes to heaven. Well, the first thing, that there's this great big file room. Everybody's got a drawer in that file room with their name on it. Well, this fellow went to heaven and he went and searched and he found that drawer with his name on it. He opened the drawer. It was empty. It was empty because they're forgiven. They're forgotten. And God doesn't hold it against you. Okay, next week I told Karen there's not going to be a teacher here. She has agreed to try, so I want you all to help her, if you will. And
do a lot of praying for her.
Yeah, do a lot of praying for Karen. And we're going to have
the long lesson, you know.
We're going to have new books, so you'll start in the first one. It'll be easier to keep track of. Okay.